a provision tucked into the Senate Armed Services Committee's version of the Defense Authorization Bill would reshape how the Defense Department oversees technology. The committee wants to merge the DOD's CIO with its deputy chief management officer. In his latest edition of Inside the Reporter's Notebook, Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller tells us what's behind the possible merger and other juicy tidbits he's picked up over the last 2 weeks. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
So that is kind of a juicy tidbit because you have two reasonably powerful positions. And then it's like musical chairs here. Somebody's going to be left standing.
Exactly. Now, I have to give all the credit to our intrepid DOD reporter, Jared Serbu, for helping me dig through this this massive bill. And basically what the provision says is it would create an Undersecretary of Defense for Management, and then that would designate that position as both the Deputy CMO, Chief Management Officer, and the CIO of DOD. So it's not even just taking the two people and combining them, but even creating a third position that would incorporate both. And then that's very interesting because right now you have Beth McGrath, who is the Deputy Chief Management Officer, and you have Terry Takei, the current CIO. And all of a sudden, this would become one mega technology management position. And that's it's a very interesting change because this would be maybe the second time, I would tell you, in the last 4, 5, 6 years that the DOD CIO is kind of being looked at as into merge. If you remember back in, 2008, 2009, maybe early 2010, they took off what they call the NII piece from it, which was the former networks and information integration part, and they just made Terry Takei the CIO, not the Assistant Secretary of Defense NII CIO. So I think it's a very interesting move.
It sounds like maybe members of Congress think CIO is too big or not big enough or just too ill-defined?
It's hard. Now, this provision, we think, was authored by Senator Jeanne Shaheen, the Democrat from New Hampshire. She is actually the chairwoman of the Subcommittee on Readiness, which this provision came out of. Now, we did reach out to Senator Shaheen, but she did not respond to our request for comment and details about why they would make this change. There's no committee report yet that maybe would offer some more explanation to it. So right now we have this kind of provision that's hanging out there. Now I did catch up with Bob Lenz. Bob is a former chief information security officer at DOD. He held the deputy assistant secretary for defense, cyber identity, information assurance. And he goes, listen, if this merger would happen, it would be a massive, massive job. He said, listen, one could take the position that it will diminish the importance of the CIO in a net-centric information enterprise. On the other hand, he says it also creates a powerful marriage since DOD, the current CIO, has been seen, as he says, her empire eroded over the last few years. So it's very interesting. He's looking at both sides. But he also says, listen, I think that move's been in the works for quite a while. So not surprising to Bob Lenz. We'll see what others say.
Okay, we're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller. And you also picked up some interesting factoids from Dan Tangerlini's hearing to be the next GSA administrator. What'd you find there? What's his plans?
That was fascinating. So every nominee has to answer a set of questions for whatever committee they go before. And it's when you look through those questions is really when you find some of the interesting things that are happening. So let me throw a couple things your way. The first is GSA is going to reduce its assisted acquisition services fee in 2014 to 3.12% from 3.58%. That would save the government about $23 million. Now, GSA, under the assisted acquisition services, provides exactly what it says, assisted acquisition to other agencies. So if you're Agency X and you need some help buying widgets, you can go to GSA and they'll do everything from soup to nuts. They'll just give you the contract or they'll do the entire acquisition. And for that, they charge a fee. Now, GSA has come under a fair amount of criticism for its fee structure over the last few years because it's been what many people believe is too high because they have such a huge surplus. I think the IG in 2009, the last time it looked at the surplus, had a surplus of the industrial funding fee of more than $600 million. Now, in the private sector, that'd be called profit. But in government, Tom,
it's called revolving fund contributions, I guess.
Exactly. There's no such thing as profit. The other interesting thing that came around fees is under the general supplies and services portfolio, which includes acquisition operations, supply operations, enterprise supply chain solutions. They're also going to reduce its what they call the markup to operations customers to 23% from 30%. And they said that would save the government about $55 million over the years.
All right. Well, Federal News Radio's Jason Miller, as always, thanks for joining us with those tidbits. And we want to remind people that you can find more at federalnewsradio.com inside the reporter's notebook. And, Jason, I just wanted to tell you, since you've launched this column, one of the things I like most about it is one of your boilerplate paragraphs, which says, "This is not a column nor a commentary. It's news tidbits, strongly sourced buzz." And so I want to say that that's when there's so much commentary and blabber about things, Jason's column is a source of facts. So
it's
just
all the stuff.
Point that out.
It's all the stuff that's been buried in my notebooks for all those years that I just have been itching to get out, and now I have an outlet. So
all
thank
right.
you, Tom.
We'll catch you later.